Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
There we go. I haven't really come across this story. It's kind of heart-touching, actually. And that was a Texas rancher was visiting a South Dakota farmer friend and asked him to show him his farm. After seeing the 1,000-acre spread, the Texan bragged that down home he could get in his Ford, drive all day, and by evening he would not have gotten to the distant point of his ranch. The South Dakota simply replied, "You know, I had a Ford once."
All right, Victor.
What a big truck. All right. Those who are here too fast, folks, that this is what the Lord has been putting on my heart. And so we're going to start a series. We're not going to do it next week because next week's homecoming, but we're starting a series. And it's very, very important because of all the stuff that's going on now, if we're not careful, we're going to lose sight of what's happening. You know, I even found out when I was trying to write this sermon that distractions were everywhere. If it weren't a text or a phone call, it was something. It was just constant, you know, and I knew what it was. And so I was actually having to do what I'm getting ready to tell y'all to do. And it's been like that for weeks, but especially since I've been working on this. And so get your Bible out, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Stand for the reading of the word. Luke chapter 10. You got your Bible, say again.
Amen.
You don't say with me. All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, don't say cumbered, cumbered about much serving. Because remember, when Jesus came to your house and weren't just Jesus, he had his 12 disciples. Not only had his 12 disciples, there were 70 around the outward circle. So there was, you know, the 12, and there were 70 around. So there's no telling how many, at least 12 were in the house. There's no telling how many were there. So Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." But Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, when God calls me, I hope you don't have to call my name twice." If he's got to call you twice, it means you ain't listening. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
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 You Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Stretch your hands this way, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. You are alive and well, and you are on the throne, God. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you cannot do. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, and Lord, in a very powerful way. Have your will and your way in this service today, God. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Help us, God, to hear what you're saying to us today. And we thank you for that, because no matter what's happening around this world, we know that you're still talking, and you're even talking with all the stuff's going on through these events, you're still talking to us. And I ask you, God, to minister mightily in the name of Jesus, we pray. And church said,
amen.
Okay, you can be seated. Now, getting my focus back. That's heavy now. This is so heavy. Getting my focus back. How many in here would actually, if you're going to be honest, be totally honest, because you got to raise your hand. Just be honest with yourself. How many in here find it from time to time hard to keep your focus on God?
Oh, yeah.
How many times do you see things happening around you and you're so busy? I remember one time, I've told this before, we had a teenager who had asthma, and she actually was having something else too. She had medical issues, and we were right there to the service, and one of the guys stood up and said, I gotta go. Gotta take my daughter out here because she's having problems. And I said, well, can we pray for her before you go? That's what I asked. Can we pray for her before you go? He said, we don't have time for that.
Oh.
And he walked out the door. And I saw everybody just kind of go. And within seconds, he came back in with his daughter and said, I am so sorry.
Right.
And he held her up, and we all prayed for her, and it was amazing, because I don't think she even had to go to the doctor after that. But we had prayed for her. But I've seen them go, doctors are there. God, give us that. That's what emergency rooms are for. That's why DC is a paramedic. And my granddaughter, C, is going to be a trauma nurse. She's going to graduate in just a couple of months. That's what it's there for. God's got this with all the stuff going around us. But you still always keep your focus on God, all that you trust in what's going on around you with the doctors and stuff. So, getting my focus back. So now, let's just talk a little bit about focus. Did you know that Satan's out to every one of y'all?
Yep.
There's not a person in here that's safe from his attacks. No one. Satan wants to rob your personal blessing. Your personal blessings. But not only does he want to rob your personal blessings, he wants to rob your ability to be a personal blessing. Think about it. God blesses you to bless others. If there's any blessings in your life, I promise you that blessing comes with a double price tag. The first price tag is from God. He blesses you. So you don't pay for it. What it is, it comes with instruction. I blessed you, now you bless others. Okay? It's free. But Satan's price tag costs a lot. He sees the blessing, and it comes. He says, I'm going to rob those blessings from you, and I'm going to keep you from being a blessing. So listen, watch this now. He doesn't just want to stop your momentum, which he's done to a lot of people. How many ever had your momentum stopped by Satan? I mean, he didn't come right out and just park, and you're stopped. I mean, he just kept bombarding you and bombarding you and bombarding you until you actually stopped praying. And you even got to the point where you said, what's the use? Is God even listening to me? Does God even hear me? Does God even see what I'm going through? I know that for a fact. Not a child necessarily, but I know that with people I counsel with. I believe it or not, I've even said that before. Do you even see? Are you watching God? Can you tell? So he wants not just to keep your, grab your blessing, but he doesn't just want to stop your momentum. He wants to prevent it from ever starting back up again. Think about it. He wants to stop your momentum and never see it rise up again. You know, when people tell me, well, Satan don't bother me, I'm thinking, well, if he's not bothering you, then you're not bothering him. Amen? Because if you're a follower of Satan, if you're actually doing something for God, you are in his sights, he's watching you, and he wants to do all he can to rob you of your focus. So now, he wants to break your focus. So now, here it goes, Proverbs 29:18. This is a very powerful scripture where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he to keep the law, happy is he. Now, that's a heavy duty scripture here. Because some people think you're just talking about you got visions coming from God and all that. If you're not careful, that gets way out somewhere, and you wind up working with your feelings versus faith, and you're just thinking God's a cosmic sugar daddy. That's not what it's talking about. Let's give you a little bit here. Let's watch this. Yeah. Vision is a clear word from God. A clear word from God. That's why it says, happy is who keepeth the law. Okay? Vision, a clear word from God, which means when you got that vision in front of you, you've got an unbroken focus. But only an unbroken focus that says, my people, without that vision, people perish. The word perish means to pine away, which means to slowly let go. Wow. That's why Satan doesn't want you to know God's word. Because if you don't know God's word, you don't have a clear vision. And if you don't have a clear vision, then you're going to find yourself perishing, pining away, slowly but surely letting go. I have been there before in my life. I've been doing this for 34 years, 35 years. I've been times, even as a preacher, I found myself got so busy about everything else that I was actually letting go of the grip of God. You can adjust your halo if you want to. But I promise you, there's nobody in here that hadn't had that feeling before. Okay, the problem is it'll come, but the problem is when you don't find it, it just keeps on going. So let me ask you a question. How is your focus? Number two, you ain't got to answer out loud. Number two, what are you focusing on? Number three, have you or are you in the midst of slowly letting go? Because God's not going to let go of you. He said, you get my hand, no man can take you out of my hand. But that's nobody, no man can take you out, but you can crawl out of it. So let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go deeper here. Now these sisters, two sisters, now these sisters had a lot in common, a lot in common. Let's just go about this. They were both loving. They were sincere women who were close to Jesus. They spent time with him. They welcomed his presence. Now, the similarities begin to change. Everybody in here, I hope, is close to Jesus. I hope everybody in here spends time with Jesus in prayer and his word. And I hope that everybody is welcoming his presence in here today. But now, I'm going to meddle some. Ready for me to meddle over y'all? Say, Lord of the Cloud, preacher. Blow it down. Ready? They were similar, but now, here's the big change with their focus on his presence. Now, get ready. Here it goes. One was preparing to work for him. That's Mary. Martha. One was preparing to let him work through her. That's Mary. They're both working for God. They both love God. They both want to do their best for God. But one is working and going at it. And the other one is taking out time. Let God work through her. Abraham Lincoln said, if you give me 8 hours to chop down a tree, so I'm going to spend 7 hours sharpening the blade. When you spend time with God, let him work through you, that's when the power takes place. I've done one funeral a week for the last 3 weeks. Done funeral. And when I go in there with the family before we go out into the sanctuary, I'm praying with the family. And here's what I always ask, and you've heard it, How many here have said today that you've got to be strong? And hands go up. And I'll do this. I'll say, you don't have to be strong. Instead of saying, God, I need to be strong, say, God, you need to be strong through me.
Yeah. Amen.
It's amazing. Because right then and there, at that moment, faces begin to change. You can see the expressions on their faces. As soon as they hear, you don't have to be strong, let God be strong through you, it is amazing. Immediately, when somebody gets that, how things change. So, you can think about it this way. Martha was being strong, and Mary was letting God be strong through her. Wow. That's some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. So, one was preparing, one was being stressed, and the other was being blessed. Ever been there? What? I got homecoming next week. I promise you, homecoming, there's going to be some blessed, there's going to be some stressed. I promise you. Okay. So you have to make the decision on what you want to be. You want to be stressed, you want to be blessed. I remember that I saw a shirt that said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Yeah. I like the one where it had the old rugged cross and said that Jesus had already beat the devil with the ugly stick. All right. So, you're in. We get ready. You said, Lord, the plow, so here it is. Both were seeking to do the right thing. But one did it in the wrong way. Let's see here. Put it back up. There you go. But one did it in the wrong way. All right. So get back to focus. It says in verse 39 that she was at the feet of Jesus. So let's just go ahead and talk about this for just a minute. It speaks of position. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. That word sat means a lot more than just sit. It means to sit as close as you possibly can. I remember thinking, when we first got Bethany, she was 4 years old. And I remember we took her to Disney World. We were in a show called Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. And Bethany was sitting on my lap, and she could feel, as a matter of fact, she was sitting so she could feel her feet on the floor. And when the screen turned over, and the lights came out, because we're shrunk. Everything got pretty big. And it makes you feel like it. And then all of a sudden, these mice went running toward us, and they started shooting air through the seats like the mice were coming through. You had people go, woo, 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 woo. And Bethany jumping like a little monkey. I have my sunglasses stuck up here, and I had an ink pen stuck up here. And now she grabbed me so hard, I had an ink pen stuck in here. I had glasses stuck in here. Bethany squeezed me so hard, and I said, it's only air. Can I have some? That's what it means. You got so close. That word said, so close that there's no room in between. All I've heard for the last 2 weeks is there any sunlight between the United States and Israel? There's sunlight, there's sunlight, there's sunlight. There shouldn't be any sunlight. There's sunlight. And you hear talking about other people, you know, here's these politicians, instead of being together, there's sunlight in between them. But here, there's no sunlight. Are you as close as possible in your own mind as you can get? Acts 22:3, the Bible says Paul was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, at the feet of the master. That's the proper place for a disciple. So where she was at was in a place of submission. Not only was she in a place of submission, saying, God, I need you more than ever. With all the stuff I see on TV right now, and all the stuff I see going on around us, and the way the economy's gone crazy, and now they're talking about, when this war doesn't last any longer, gas is going to shoot up to $6, $7 a gallon. And in California, it's already $7 a gallon. So they're talking about how the gas is going to go up, and we're not prepared for anything else, and how all this stuff's going to take place, and all this. And so, you know what? Instead of stressing out, get this. Some of y'all want to hear that? You're stressed out. My challenge today is get at his feet and watch what God can do. It's also, once you can get at his feet and say, God, I need what you got for me, then it's a place of peace. Because Mary's at peace.
Not Martha. Martha's in the kitchen. Wow.
Now, I'm not saying I'm advocating don't do anything. No. That's not what this is about. This is a picture. This is a snapshot. Yes, we need to be busy working for God. Yes, we need God to be using us. But it's the difference between working for God and God working through you. You go to his feet first, and that's when he will work through you. It also speaks of listening to the right voice. Because his perception, Mary said she was hearing the words of Christ. Now, that word heard is a special word. How many have ever heard of an echo? You've been out going in a cavern, and it goes, hey! And it goes, hey. You're up in the mountains, you go in a cavern, and go, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Think about something here. That word hearing means to continue listening and hearing. Number one is, you don't tire of his word. And number two is, it implies you continue thinking about what he said after he quit talking. It's meditation. So think about that. Martha, she couldn't hear the words of God. All that commotion, and all this stuff. Whoa. Instead of finding somebody to blame, instead of finding something to blame, try this. Stop! And spend some time at his feet. Remember Abraham Lincoln, if I have 10 hours, it was 8 hours. I'm 8 hours to cut down a tree. I spend 7 hours sharpening my axe. So, perception. Not perception, but it's priorities. Mary's priority is being close to Christ. She was not aware of the events about to take place, but she refused to take his presence for granted. What does that mean for us? We really don't know what's getting ready to happen. We look at the Bible, and we can tell by the Bible, it looks like Ezekiel 38 and 39 is getting ready to take place. Because there's this one great battle before the rapture, and there's a great battle at the end. At the end, Jesus will say, enough's enough, it's over. But at the front, there's going to be some fighting. And some nations are going to go down. So, my question. I hear it, I heard it this morning, I've heard it time and time again. Get ready for global jihad. Is that just a scare tactic of terrorism? It could be. Or are we going to face another 9/11? And if they break out in sales or on wood, whatever, guess what? 9/11, 3,000 people. And in comparison, remember, in comparison to what Israel's lost, they may have to lose 35,000 people. If global jihad takes over and takes place, we could lose 35,000. So my question, are you taking advantage of the opportunity to worship God? This is a true story, absolutely true story. I didn't have to make this one up. Ready? Didn't have to make a big part of it. In a big old church, I think it was New York City. It's up north, I think it's New York. In the middle of the service, 10 or 20 masked men, dressed in black, wearing masks, come in with machine guns. Pow, 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 pow. Didn't shoot anybody yet. Said, all you that's not ready to die for your faith, leave. And a good portion of the church left. That's not necessarily surprising. The surprising part is this church had like 10 ministers and all these song ministers and all this. And when you're trying to face them, over half of them left. He had robbed everybody on his way out. He looked over at the preacher and said, okay, all the hypocrites are going to go up and have church in there.
Oh.
Wow. Are you busy working without him working through you? When he works through you, it's amazing what you can do. It's amazing how much power you got. It's amazing how things happen the way they happen. How you meet certain people in certain places because you let God work through you. So, right now the world's distracted. Our nation is distracted. With all these protests and all this stuff, and even at the protests, they're not peaceful. There's people fighting on both sides. They're coming at each other. It's only going to get worse. So now, there you are. Get my sister to help me, Jesus. Don't she see? And he wants to see. Says, don't you see? See, we got to get beyond our distractions. Distractions are part of life. You're a father or a mother, you're full of distractions. Amen.
Amen.
Speak some priorities. Martha's priority, serving Christ and others. That's good. That was good. She's not doing a bad thing. It's just how she's doing. Matter of fact, the servant, diaconus, which means deacon, she was being a deacon, a servant. But in the midst of her working for God, she was cumbered.
That's awesome.
That reminds me of DC used to do when he was a little fella. Ready? She was covered. Which means to be driven about mentally.
To be distracted. To be over occupied. To be dependent upon
things. I'm talking to somebody. I can look at him and tell when this is going on.
I'm trying to talk to him and you're going.
The problem is, I don't hear that. They're the ones that hear. So she was cumbered. I don't need a cumberbund. It's cumbered. Although when I put a cumberbund, that's how I feel. All right. So now, just asking a question. Could it be she took his presence for granted? She saw it as an opportunity, but it was really an opportunity. Or did she take it for granted? Because I know there was 12 people plus there. And I know there's a lot of people there to eat, but could she have, you know, Sam was like, you know, you said the blessing before you did. When I became Mr. Mom, my boys used to say the blessing after we ate. You're getting it. My cooking was so bad. They said the blessing after we ate. All right. So now, Mary, she was blessed. Martha was busy. Listen carefully. This is good stuff here. Is it possible? Listen carefully. I've seen this. I've done this. Is it possible to work outside of your anointing? I got so excited for God. I just kept every kind of job going. I want to give me. I got it. Yeah. I got it. And what I found out is some of that stuff was pretty intense and intriguing, and some of them should drive me crazy. It's because I was stepping out of my anointing and trying to do something I wasn't anointed for. So the question is, have you ever done that? You're so busy working for God that you forget that you got to let God work through you. And if you step out of your anointing, there's no guarantee that God's going to work through you. And not only that, but sometimes do it beyond our anointing. We're called. We know we got to do this. We'll become overloaded. Because we're doing what God called us to do, but we're so busy that we neglect to let God do the work through us. And we wind up in trouble. Is it possible? This is heavy stuff. Is it possible to have enough to get you going, but not enough to keep you? Think about it.
Amen.
Man, you get a good service going, and you're ready to take on hell with a water pistol. I'm ready to take on the devil with a water pistol. And that's service to God assigned, and can't find a water pistol or the devil. Because they got worked out. But they didn't work out. Very important. So now, one more question. One more thing. If you find yourself working outside of your anointing, you find yourself working beyond your anointing, you get going, you ain't got enough to keep you going, here's the danger. Burn out and rust out. I remember when I was doing all this stuff, when I have taken on every job they have, taking on everything. And I remember I hear people say all the time, you better be careful, you're going to burn out. And I thought this was so spiritual. I say I'd rather burn out than rust out. Now I look back over and think, that's stupid. Because when you burn out or rust out, you're still in trouble. The results are the same. This one's got some singes on it. So now, almost through. This was so, Maximus said this in Gladiator. Oh, man. They're going to go into battle. He said, some of y'all ain't going to make it. He said, matter of fact, some of y'all, I will see their version of heaven. Some of y'all might see in heaven today. Some of y'all see back here. Some of y'all see in heaven. He said, I want you to remember this. And this is so powerful. because this is us now, too. What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Wow.
Just take it in.
Say, well, look at all they're doing for God. Look at all the jobs they're doing for God. Oh, well, maybe they get to heaven, they're going to get all these rewards. I'm thinking, as I got older, I realized not necessarily, because if they weren't anointed, if they weren't called, if God didn't, that's not what God called them to do. I'm not so sure. Think about the person that had one job, but they did it because they knew God had called them and they trusted Him. They did that one job and did it well. They weren't distracted. Wow. So, the righteous shall be everlasting in everlasting remembrance. Psalm 112 and 6. You need to wind her down now. Here's Psalm 112, 6 through 8. Surely it shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be everlasting in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart shall be fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Get ready. I'm getting ready to wind down now. Brandon, you can help me get ready to start playing something. What's your focus on? Believe it's great is bad. Believe it's great is whatever. I got to have this in my house. I got to have this. I got to wear this. And I got to have a certain kind. I can't wear a certain kind of shoes. I got to have this kind of shoes. I can't do this and that. Blah, blah, blah. All this, and there's spiritual fads. And there's spiritual things. Yeah. What is your focus on? It better be on Jesus. Here's the danger of broken focus. Would you watch this and think about it? Think about your own life. When you have a broken focus, it distorts things in your life. I remember watching Tom and Jerry. And Tom was going after Jerry relentlessly. And Jerry happened to stand in front of a light at night, and his shadow grew way, way, way over Tom. And Tom got scared and run. And he looked there and he saw a little bitty Jerry. It was just a shadow that scared Tom. He could have easily taken him. But it was distorted. His view of Jerry was distorted. So now, it distorts a balanced life. If you've got a broken focus, you're not going to have a balanced life. It's not going to happen. Your distorted life is going to keep your scales always out of tip, always out of balance. And it's going to keep you busy trying to keep it balanced, and you'll find yourself things are going to be falling by the wayside. Like a shipwreck, you've got to take a ton out of things because you're trying to keep it balanced. So first, it distorts balanced life. Secondly, it distorts your relationships. Martha was distracted, so it distorted her relationship with God, number one. He was right there. They didn't know Calvary was coming. They should have been at his feet. So she's upset with Jesus because her relationship with Lord had been distorted. She was upset with her sister because her relationship with her sister had been distorted. It's so important that we don't let our focus, especially now, get broken. It's not time to go run and hide. It's not time to climb under the bed. It's not time to just stand like the Thessalonians did up on a mountain and say, okay, Jesus, come and get us. And Paul said, calm down.
Then, Lord, he ain't already come. You'll know when it's coming because all these things he starts talking about. So, it distorts our vision. A broken focus will distort your vision. I'm still trying to see through these things. This is going to be the latest, greatest, and they replaced them, and replaced them, and replaced them. I could see a whole lot better before I got them. I was in D.C. had his birthday supper at Deadwood Friday night. So I go to Deadwood to have supper with him. That's one of the salads. So I go to the salad bar, and I'm loaded up on the salad bar. I'm thinking, that looks good. And I said, wow, they're small, but I like them bacon bits. So I pick up a big old spoonful of bacon bits and threw them on my salad. As I'm walking away, the light hits it. And I put sunflower seeds. Because these awesome, awesome glasses.
Yeah.
And the lady looked there and said, sir, do you have a problem? I said, there's wrong stuff on my side. I said, will you put it on it? I said, yeah, through these glasses, you want to try it? She said, no, just give me that bitch, you know. I said, thank you. So, it distorts our vision. It will distort your personal joy. Do you know how hard it is to have a joyful life when you're hindered all the time? Can you imagine? All right, let's think about it. Here you go. Here you are. And I'm trying to live a balanced life. I'm trying to have good relationships. Huh? I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Huh? Can I help you? Huh? I want to have vision. Huh? I want to have personal joy. I just want to have personal joy. It's so important that we let God take control of our lives. So here's this week's assignment I want you to do. Then we're going to come up and pray. Or pray there, pray wherever. You come here, pray. You stay out there and pray. Wherever you want to pray, I want you to pray because this is going to be very important. Look at your prayer life. Kind of hard to pray when I can't hear my own self. How many ever said I came here? How many? You got your kids hollering at you. And you got somebody going, hold on, I can't even hear myself think. Everybody use that phrase? That was one of my catchphrases. We'll come up here, we'll ride over. We were coming up in here. We sit down a little bitty. And Texas Gulf. It was Texas Gulf back in there, right? And it was 30 years ago, 35 years ago. We're going through this stuff, man. Me in the back make all kinds of noise. I'm trying to think. I got service, I got to preach. I said, God, I can't even think. Come on now. Never so long, blah, 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 blah. I said, y'all really need some time here. And then DC says, what stinks so bad, Dad? Little bitty fellas. And I said, this Texas Gulf. And he said, now be quiet. I'm still trying to think. And I'm looking at a barrel was driving, I was looking at an outline. And then DC said, what do they make? They stink that bad. These little bitty fellas, like 3 and 5. I said, DC, you're 5 years old. It don't matter. Just let me think. He said, I just want to know what they make. And then little old Daniel, you know, that 3-year-old wisdom. He said, sure do stink. What do they make? I said, DC, leave me alone. And Daniel said, do.
You do.
And here I am trying my best to think. Now I'm laughing. So, here we go. Watch this, y'all. Don't watch. Then you will call upon me. This is Jeremiah 29:12-14, New American Standard. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will let myself be found of you. Wow. Wow. When you search me with everything you got inside, and I know that you're giving it all you got, I'll let you find me. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you in the exile. He was talking to Israel, but you know what? There's a lot of people today that's in their own personal exile. Be proud of me. I'm a work till he comes. Well, I want work till he comes. See, when I do work till he comes. I was sitting out talking to my brother the other day, and he said, I'm getting ready to retire, and blah, blah, blah. My wife looked over. He said, it'll never be. He said, what about you, brother? My wife said, him retire. I said, I got and Rob did blah, 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 blah. And it hit and I went, oh. And so I pulled over on the side, and I turned off my car into my little lookers. I said, talk to me. She quit talking. We ride again. And then we get talking again, and she goes, did you know what Bill did to me? And I said, no, I don't, dear. And she started talking, so I pulled over on the side of the road. Not this. And for years, no matter what I was doing, Bethany started talking about the stuff that happened in her. I pulled over on the side of the road, I stopped what I was doing, whatever, and I carried her to the side and said, I just want to hear what you got to say, because I knew it was scary for her. Plus, I learned a lot more about what was going on. Has God ever tried to talk to you? You've been seeking, he was trying to talk to you. But you don't honor his presence. I was honoring Bethany by pulling over. I was honoring Bethany by stopping. I was honoring Bethany by saying, talk to me. Are you honoring God's presence? You're asking for it when he starts talking. Are you honoring it? Or are you just pushing it to the side? Next, move in his presence. I'm not doing without you, God. Hardest thing I ever had to do in my life was preach my own daughter's funeral. I cried on the way up here. I cried on the way back. When I was up here, I was in God's pocket. And I said, God, if you don't do this, I can't do it. But I said, I refuse to move without your presence. And my brother Pollock says, your turn, brother. I felt it. Honestly, it felt like he picked me up and towed me up here. And everything that was in her dream that she had every month for 8 months came to pass. There was laughing, there was crying, there was shouting, there was singing. The place was so packed we had chairs on both sides of each aisle and people standing around. Everything she saw in that dream, everything came to pass. If I had not have moved in his presence, wow, it wouldn't happen. Because then I just took the hands off of it. Here you go, Lord. You do it. Finally, trust his presence. When I was an on-call chaplain at Pittmore Hospital, I worked from 8 that night to 8 in the morning. I never knew what was going to be, I never knew what was coming, ever. That one night I ministered to 56, 57 people, 7 deaths, and did counseling. It was just go. And they told me, you better trust in your training and trust in God, because they said you got about 15 seconds when you walk in a room full of hurrying people. You got 15 seconds to figure out what's going on and who to talk to first and what how to happen. And so all the way there, I said, God, if you ain't going to move him, I don't want to be here. God, you hear it. God, you hear it. Same way when I was at Best Johnson Hospital, God, you hear it. In the same way now, if I come in, you tell me something's going on and you need me there, I'm praying all the way. God, help me get out of the way
And you work through me. Work through me. Work through me. Go to the pit pain center. God, work through me. God, work through me. God, work through me. God, I don't want to go without your presence. Everybody was leaving Jesus because he said, you're going to have to eat the bread and drink of my blood and all this. And his disciples were still there. He says, where are you going to go? And they're all leaving too. And he says, leave. He says, where are we going to go? You got the words we need. All this stuff going on right now. Where are you going to go? Where's your focus? We're going to talk more about focus after homecoming. Probably two or three more times. But this is just the beginning. This week, seek his presence. Seek his presence through prayer and through worship. He can come to you on your job. He can come to you while you sleep. He can come to you while you're going through the worst of times. You can feel that gentle brush. And sometimes it's not a gentle brush. Sometimes I felt him just carry out, put a boot right in my rear end. Honor it. You know he's here. Honor it. Move in it. And trust it. God won't do you wrong. Let's all stand. Are you distracted today? You find yourself so distracted that you've lost your vision. Not only have you lost your vision, you find yourself slowly pining away, releasing the grip. I challenge you today to ask God to help you get that focus back. There's too much going on around us to not have that focus. I was excited to be here today. Because all day, all week, especially all day yesterday, I kept feeling that challenge. Keep your focus.
Keep your focus.
Keep your focus. Keep your focus. It just won't just keep your focus, but distractions were happening everywhere. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. I was talking to my dad this morning. He's going out. I said, Dad, he's 18 years old. I said, don't live in fear. I said, but just keep your eyes open. If you see something don't look quite right, don't go over there. If you see somebody that looks just you don't even know, they're just keep watching you and watching you, get up, please. Just go home. He said, I will, son. I said, yeah, I know. You got this. Listen, keep your eyes open. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you found yourself losing your focus? Have you found yourself losing your vision? These glasses have been an education for me. Because not having good vision, it makes it hard. It makes it hard to see. It makes it hard to maneuver. You've got to keep your focus. You've got to keep your vision. Something is stirring. Something is stirring big. We gotta be ready. Not be afraid. Be ready. There's a difference. The Bible said it's the days of Noah. So it's gonna be the days when the Son of Man comes back. And laughing and shouting, having a good old time, they're married and giving their marriage, and they didn't even know until the day that the rain came. And Noah preached
for 120 years. And they didn't pay attention. And this great big boat is being made. And all these animals coming. And they were so focused on what they were doing, they even lost their focus on that. Wow. Wow. Look around you. The ark's being built. Look around you. The animals are coming in, so to speak. Things are happening. With every hip out, every eye closed, if you find yourself losing, have lost some of that vision, lost some of that hope, find yourself finding a way when nobody else is looking, we just put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Touch the Lord. Touch him right now. Touch him in a very powerful way. They were honest, God, because they were honest. You respect that honesty. You respect their presence. God, you seek them, and you honor their presence, and you want to move in their presence, and you want them, you want to trust them. But you want them to trust you. Bless them. Maybe you're here today, and you just need your focus realigned. Just God, realign. Realign my focus. Help me get it right. Help me get in the right direction. I'm working for you, God. But now the work I'm doing for you is starting to be like those pans clanking back and forth. I find out, God, I'm working for you, but I'm not letting you work through me. Help me, God. If I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, every eye closed. Raise that hand. That's me. Touch him right now, God. Touch him. There your hand extended. Work through. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for this day. I want everybody to put your hands this way.
Temptations, but the power of the Lord. Father God, we just praise you for that. We love you, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that we pay a special attention to you every day of our lives, Lord. Even the small things that you do for us, sometimes we overlook. So we need to lift your name up in praise, Lord. And Lord, help us to keep us our focus on you and what you do for us every single day, every minute of every day. And we give you honor and glory and praise for it all. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.